May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We read in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, these words, and I think they're entirely appropriate to think about as we have just passed through the Christmas season and are heading into a new year. These words, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus was so named by the angel before his birth. By this personal name, he was known in Nazareth from his youth until the day Pilate placed this sign on the cross: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Paul, writing to the Philippians in Philippians 2:9, wrote, "God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." We pull out our Funken Wagnalls or our Websters and we look under name. We read name, a word or a combination of words by which a person, place, or thing, a body or class, or any object or thought is designated or known. An appellation, title, or epithet applied descriptively in honor, abuse, and so forth. When we choose names for our children, we go about it in a peculiar way. We tend to choose a name that sounds good to the ear, that trips along nicely on the tongue. We name our children after ourselves, after grandparents and other relatives. We name them for sports figures, national leaders, college friends. Some name our children after biblical personages. Sometimes we flip a coin among viable alternatives. Probably too few name our children with a name whose meaning we know. Among all Orientals, but especially among the Jews, a deep significance is attached to names. And this is evidenced from the Old Testament patriarchs and from the practice among present-day Orthodox Jews. Names, surnames, and appellatives are bestowed upon men with the intent of expressing the very character of the person named. Each of the names of Jesus in the Old Testament prophesies, in the Old Testament prophecies and in the New Testament, is a key to his character. The character of the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus, his human name, stems from the word used in Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. "Thus the Lord saved Israel." The word "saved" is a translation of the Hebrew word Yasha, the root of the name Joshua, which in turn is an abbreviation of Jehoshua, meaning Jehovah saves. I think Dr. Hoffmeyer will corroborate that if you'd like a corroboration. Joshua is the Hebrew form of Jesus. Christ was named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christos means anointed. Christ, the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah, is the official name of our Lord. The name or title, Christ, connects him with the entire Old Testament prophecy of a coming prophet, priest, and king. And all three of these offices typically required that the appointee be anointed with oil. Likewise, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, thus becoming officially identified as the Christ. For our consideration this morning, I'd like to direct our thoughts to the person of Jesus Christ, as portrayed in his names in Scripture, four ways. First, prophetic or symbolic names. Second, names Jesus used himself. Third, names Jesus' contemporaries used for him. And fourth, names applied to him by his apostles after his resurrection and ascension. And to aid us, I'm going to be using the overhead projector. It's kind of an occupational problem. I cannot lecture without using one of these contraptions, and I find it very difficult to prepare my thoughts today without having this by my side. So this is the way I would like to help focus our attention. And we'll try to keep it all on the screen as appropriate. First of all, prophetic or symbolic names. Now, before the service began, Chris asked if there was going to be some scripture that I would like to have read. And I said, Chris, the entire message is really going to be scripture. It will be from the Old Testament, it will be from the New Testament, and we will be going back and forth. And I think the people probably will get a little tired, and probably the pages of their Bibles will get a little damp as they keep doing this. But, you know, I think as I think back on my Christian experience and think back on messages that have been most meaningful to me, the ones that come from Scripture itself tend to be remembered in my mind. And so I don't think we can get too far wrong, as Dr. Kaiser says, keeping one finger on the page and not getting too far from that in our preaching or our listening. So if you have your Bible with you, you can put it to very good use this morning. I will try to give you the scriptural citation for the name that is being presented. And I think it would help, it certainly has helped me, to read in the scripture what the name of our Lord is, and to think about that. And at the end of the service today, we're all going to do that together in a way that I hope will be meaningful to you. So first of all, the prophetic or symbolic names of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first is recorded in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I'll give you a chance to locate that. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This name for our Lord is the star, the scepter. The reference is Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17. We move to Job, the oldest, perhaps, book in the Bible, even older than the books of Moses. Job chapter 19, verse 25. Now, if you are in the back or are not wearing the proper adjustments for nearsightedness, you probably can't see all of these. I hope you can see the one at the top. But this name from Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Jesus is our Redeemer. And from Isaiah 9:6, that most of you could probably quote from memory, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I know many of us at the Christmas season perhaps dust off Messiah and play it. It should be played all year long. This is one of the The recitatives from Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In that one verse, all of these names for our Lord Jesus Christ are listed. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One chapter over in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then, towards the end of the Old Testament, in the fifth chapter of Micah, and verse 2, and this again is one that we read at Christmas time. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus is ruler in Israel. And from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7. Haggai 2, 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The desire of all nations is a name for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then from Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Jesus is the Branch. And we finally move to the New Testament in this consideration of the prophetic or symbolic names of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 30 through 32. Luke 1, 30 through 32. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Jesus is the Son of the Highest. And just three verses beyond. In Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to Mary, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus, that holy thing, Son of God. When Jesus was on the earth in his human form, it's recorded in Scripture that he referred to himself by several names. And we all know what these names are, but unless we focus on them and consider them together, we perhaps don't consider the whole scope of what Jesus considered himself to be and who he said he was. And so as we look at the names Jesus used to describe himself, think of how he appeared to the disciples and think today how he appears to you and speaks to you and lives in you. Who is he to you? By what name do you call? In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Back in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Matthew 8, 20, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Not only was he and is he the Son of God, but he is the Son of Man. And over in John 13, five chapters over, John 13, verse 13, Jesus is speaking. He says, you call me master or teacher and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is our Lord. Notice how many of these are coming from the Gospel of John. The next one is also from John, chapter 4. And verse 10. Jesus at the well. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus is the gift of God to us. And in John 6:33, John 6, verse 33, for the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus is the bread of God. And in two verses beyond, 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Another name for our Lord, he is the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says, then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking in verses 7 and 9. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. And perhaps one of the most familiar verses in the entire scriptures, speaking about the names of Jesus and who he is. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And a few verses beyond that, in John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And in verses 4 and 5, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And in the last book of the Scriptures, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus speaking to John through the Holy Spirit, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. The people with whom Jesus rubbed shoulders every day got to know him pretty well, they thought. And they could perceive that he was not an ordinary person. They started to use names for him. And so we can today examine the names Jesus' contemporaries used as they refer to him. And these words are recorded in Scripture. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. He called him the son of David, King David of Israel. And in Matthew 2, verse 2, from the Christmas story itself, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Jesus, the King of the Jews. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, this is Simon Peter's great confession. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And in Luke 4, verses 33 and 34, the demoniac story. There was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Even his contemporaries knew that he was the Holy One of God, at least some of them. And the last two from the first chapter of John. First, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And from John chapter 1, verse 41, Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Jesus the Christ is the Messiah. Finally, the names applied to Jesus by his apostles after his resurrection and ascension. I don't know if you've been keeping track or not, and I don't think I have added these all up, but I believe that we may have something on the order of between 40 and 50 names of Jesus so far from the scriptures. The names applied to Jesus by his apostles after his resurrection and ascension. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. 8 verses later. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the true light. And 5 verses beyond that. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the only begotten from God the Father. And then as we look at the third chapter of Acts, verses 14 and 15, Paul in his great speech, given boldly in public, but you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. Jesus, the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Jesus, the Prince of Life. And Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 2:8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which none of the princes of this age knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus, the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus is the last Adam, the second man. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. In the lost, the god of this age, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Jesus is the image of God. And in Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 20, verse 2, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And the next series of verses, all from Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 15, verse 16, and verse 18, list several names for our Lord. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the creator of all things. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator. Jesus, the only mediator. I just realized that people sitting right here probably can't see the bottom half of the screen. This won't go any higher. Usually in class, when I'm doing this and lecturing and the students can't see something, they'll tell me about it. You're much too kind. You don't do anything. And then what I usually do is to flip it up and put it on the ceiling. And then they raise their hands again. Sometimes they raise their hands. Usually they raise their voices. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. And I think it's always a good idea to let the congregation know of how the speaker is progressing, since I didn't give you exactly an outline. You'll be glad to know that this is the last sheet. But at the same time, all of these names are speaking about one person. One person, the Lord that we serve. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author or originator or captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Thank you.
Right. Right. I didn't have anything showing there. All right. Right. Jesus is the author or the originator or the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold fast our profession. Jesus is our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. His name, therefore, could be Jesus, the unchangeable one. He doesn't change. Circumstances do, and we do. He doesn't. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living stone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages. Jesus is the King of kings. He is the King of the ages. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The second one is an especially precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The bright and morning star. The root and offspring of David. Hebrews 13:20. Keep your finger in Hebrews and Revelation. The remaining ones are all in those two books. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. And here, the writer of Hebrews refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. And in Hebrews 1, 2, chapter 1, verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Jesus is the heir of all things. And the last two from the book of Revelation. Revelation 17, 14, second part of that verse. Revelation 17, 14. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Jesus is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And perhaps appropriately for our time together today, Revelation 3:14. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the ending. Jesus is the Amen. In addition to these names, God himself spoke of Jesus. In Matthew 3:17, God said, and lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in a day yet to come, the name of Jesus will be revered everywhere. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I asked Joy Anderson if she would sing a special song for us at the end of this service. I'd like Joy to come now. She's going to sing through a song that you all know once. And then I'd like you to sing it through one more time with her. And then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Okay?